Welcome to the Total Nerd List podcast, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Tom.
I'm Reggie.
I'm Shane.
And this week we are doing favorite OTP or one true pairing. I had never heard that term before we decided to do this episode. We were suggesting, since it was around Valentine's Day, doing favorite couples. Shane, I was the one who turned me on to the term OTP. I like it a lot. I feel like, I don't know what y'all made your list based on, but my list, it doesn't have to be anyone who actually ended up together in whatever we were reading or watching or playing. It could just be people we wanted to get together or should have been together. Is that about what y'all felt about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I did mine off of that exact, like, I think most of mine end up together, though. That OTP, yeah, you know me.
One true pairing.
Well, this week we have a special guest, my wife, Allison. She is a Valentine's baby. Makes it very, very hard for me on Valentine's Day, since I have to contend with a birthday and Valentine's Day at the same time. And also, I just really love Valentine's Day. So anything that steals my thunder on Valentine's Day is very frustrating. But I thought, we've had her as a guest before, and I thought we would bring her on this week since it was Valentine's and one true pairing, and she is my OTP.
Thank you.
Aww. Welcome, Allie.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely.
It's okay, I guess. Well, before we get into our lists, what have you been nerding out on this week, Shane?
Well, not a lot has changed for me. I'm still working on my book, which I'm almost done with, autobiography. And I'm still playing Animal Crossing, which a little earlier today, which by the time this comes out, our listeners will have hopefully already watched, there was a 50-minute Nintendo Direct. And only thing I have seen from that is the Animal Crossing news, which is the Super Mario items that we get, and that update comes February 25th.
Yay!
Yes, and you can order them. You don't have to get them out the stupid balloons like the Christmas gifts.
Yay!
What type of items do you get?
Oh, you get like the mystery block, mushroom, extra man, flagpole, Mario costumes, Luigi costumes. I saw Wario and Princess Peachy costumes. And it looks like legit, like there's actual characters. It's not just like the dress and the overhauls. There's like a little mask that comes with it too.
Nice.
And you can build a course. There was a thump, turtle shell, and it's like you can put them up any way you want on your island. So I am uber excited about that.
And you said that's February when?
25th. It's a free update, so if you have the game, let it update, and you'll be able to get them.
Yeah. Did you do the Mardi Gras stuff?
I did.
Did you get all of the rainbow stuff?
I did not, but apparently you can just kind of customize it to rainbow, so
yeah.
I'm going to do that, because I got a lot of extra stuff, because there's a lot of running around. It would have taken a long time to get all the rainbow stuff.
Yeah, I spent like 3 hours just catching feathers, and I got one of everything.
Yay, yes, I got one of everything. Actually, well, I had one of everything from the store, and then I started getting different colors of it, and then I started getting a few rainbow pieces, and then I was just like, I'm going to stop, and I'll buy it from Nookazon from another player. Or I read that you can customize it, so I'm like, I'll just try that, because I want my stuff to be rainbow stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to push me to play Animal Crossing at some point.
Yes, join.
That's their plan.
Yes, come to the dark side. We'll hook you up with DIYs.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm glad I waited almost a year to start playing, because then I was able to mooch off of all my famous friends who were playing, and that made my gaming experience a lot more enjoyable, because the part I wasn't looking forward to was the grinding aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's about where I'm at with starting any game at this point. You said something about an autobiography?
Yeah, that's the name of the book I'm reading for February.
Oh, the one you're reading. I thought you said the one you were writing. I was like, this sounds amazing.
No, sadly, I'm not writing anything yet again. And that's just because, we have to play and other things going on in life. But soon I'll be working on another project. I've got Camp NaNoWriMo coming up in April, and that's a whole nother novel.
Oh, man. Me and Reggie need to start our novellas.
Yeah.
You do. You can plan it out. And then in April, you can start it. So other than that, that's kind of what's been going on with me. You know, we played DVD here and there a little bit. And I'm actually still putting together. I have a lot of those Lego dimension figures. And I didn't realize I had as many as I did. And so I pull them out and I see all the clearance stickers. And I'm like, oh, good thing you only paid like $3 for this. But there's a lot. And I'm still putting them together. And that's been my week.
Nice.
What about you, Reggie?
Well, my week has been, I randomly found a 32 gig SD card, micro SD card. So I put it in my Switch, and unfortunately I hadn't had one before. So I've only been able to have like two things on my Switch at a time. Well, I was able to re-download everything.
Yay.
So I got all my games back on there. So it took a lot of time and download and blah, blah, blah. And then also I've been doing a lot of Dead by Daylight, of course, with my family and then you guys. I like the update because I like the like new graphics and stuff like that, but I really wish that they would fix the hitboxes. Also I've said this 100 times, they need to make a feature where you can spit in the killer's face
or pocket sand.
Well, I actually just bought the item where you can stab the killer if you're being carried. It's a Laurie Strode's perk. It's in the marketplace, so if you have enough iridescence, go buy it, because it definitely seems worth it.
There needs to be a feature where, like, if you team up with everyone in your party exactly right, you can kill the killer. Like,
I agree. I think there should be some combination of stuff that you can do in the level that should make you be able to like enter final girl mode or something like that. I don't know. And then other than that, I recently got the new Star Wars High
Republic.
Yeah, the first Star Wars High Republic book, The Light of the Jedi. I still haven't actually started it, but I think I will be starting that when we get done with this today.
Ooh,
nice. And I will be borrowing it from you if you're the type of person who loans books.
Yeah, Corey actually already told me to let you borrow it after I was done before he reads it. So, but that's been my week. Tom, what have you been doing?
Fun week. Well, it's a good thing I have Allison on for my This Week in Nerd. I have a few things that I've done on my own, but most of our week has been watching movies together. So we'll get into those. First thing I did was I quit playing Alien Isolation.
Yay!
I was very disappointed in that game. Like I said last week, it's really frustrating when there's a game that like a pile of suitcases is an obstacle you have to like go around the entire map to get around. But also just I was really expecting it to be kind of a story-driven game, kind of like a Telltale game that was really just more streamlined and less minuscule looking for everything. Like I love the Metroidvania genre, but I just don't have the emotional energy to put into the game that they had at this moment. So I actually restarted Red Dead Redemption 2. Have y'all played that one before?
I did not play it, but Corey played it and I watched him play a bunch of it.
I
have not played 2, only 1, and Red Dead Revolver.
Nice. Yeah, I really like that game. Great storyline. I'll probably do it when we talk about redemption arcs, but I left off the main character from Red Dead Redemption 2 in my favorite anti-heroes, and I'm kicking myself over it. Another thing is I found out that HBO Max has like all of the Adult Swim and like Cartoon Network cartoons.
Yep.
I watched a bunch of Powerpuff Girls this weekend.
Nice.
What else? Courage the Cowardly Dog, which watching that through a new lens. And I never thought about when it first came on that you were watching all this stuff through, like everything that was happening was just what dogs see. And now that I have a very cowardly dog, I'm like, oh, wow, the world's just terrifying to my dog.
I saw last night that The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy are on there, and I love that show.
I need to watch the Battle of the Bands episode.
Yes!
It's my favorite one with Mogarth.
Mm-hmm.
And then really quick, I have a correction from last week. When I was talking about the invitation, I said that it was, they were going to a girl's ex-husband's house. It was actually the guy's ex-wife's house that they were going to, because we rewatched it right after we recorded that episode, just because we felt like we needed to have our spirits broken. Do you have any thoughts on the invitation?
I really enjoyed rewatching it, because the first time around I didn't pick up on the kind of true crime Charles Manson aspect that it was showing. Again, I don't want to like spoil it for people or for y'all, but it was still scary the second time around.
So it's a good movie. We'll have to watch it for sure.
And once you know the ending of it, like rewatching it, it gives you chills to some of the things they say. We also watched the movie Alone. Have y'all heard of that?
Because of you.
Basically movie where a girl's moving cross country and she gets
targeted
by a creeper, and he basically, all of the like cliches that you hear of like people trying to be creepy, he pulls off. Like in one part, his car is broken down. He's like, just help me push it. And she's like, no. But yeah, that one was wild. And then The Lodge. Have y'all heard of that one?
Vaguely.
That one was wild. Do you have any thoughts on that, Allison?
I just really want all of my friends to watch it so I can discuss it with them, because after reading like on Reddit what people thought of the movie, I had a vastly different opinion on, I guess, who the villain was. And so I just need to like compare and contrast with other human beings.
By the way, she was incorrect in who the villain was.
Okay.
I went try to check that out this weekend.
Oh yeah, they're both very, very stressful, good movies, in both kind of,
they're not like scary like horror. It's that like that thriller on your seat, like edge of your seat type movie.
But they're both movies that end ambiguously, which, you know, I know that's like supposed to be a mark of good literature and good cinema, but it almost feels lazy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And really, really frustrating. And it's just like, you just didn't want to tie up all the loose ends, so you're going to like throw us all this ambiguity and act like it's avant-garde crap. I just, ugh. But, and then have y'all seen The Nun?
Not yet.
From The Conjuring? Yeah. Okay, we watched that last night, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I could not tell if halfway through they stopped taking it seriously and decided I think they just like at one point decided we're like, okay, we're going to make this like a campy, like vampire slayer type thing, but I couldn't tell if they were like trying to be serious or if they are trying to joke about it. And I kept being like, Allison, are they joking right now? And she kept being like, I don't care.
It lost my interest, so I was like, I really don't care what they're doing.
What'd you think of that movie, Shane?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I thought you said you'd seen it. I need y'all to watch all of the movies we've mentioned and then tell me if they decided halfway through The Nun that they were no longer taking the movie seriously. But it has Violet from American Horror Story in it, and I love her.
Very nice.
And that's been about my week. Allison, you had some things to add?
Yeah, just the only two things I've been nerding out on. So I've been nerding out on my birthday, and what I got myself for my birthday, if anyone from Boone or also not in Boone, because they have a second location called the Internet, likes books, they should check out Foggy Pine Bookstore. They were featured on a commercial on Stephen Colbert after the Super Bowl. So they're finally kind of starting to get the props and the business that they deserve. But I ordered myself a mystery box, which is really cool because you tell them what kind of books you're interested in and they try to find maybe things you haven't read.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten two for other people, but I've never gotten one for myself. So I'm really excited about that and what they pick out for me. And then the other thing I'm nerding out on is The Stand by Stephen King. It's a labor of love that I've been reading and working on for like a year. I don't know why I'm reading it during the pandemic. It's way too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I've been nerding out on.
M-O-O-N, that spells reading.
And then back to Foggy Pine, she actually for Christmas this year, I think I've mentioned it before, she basically went to Foggy Pine and was like, my husband likes these comic books, and they threw out some just completely random titles I had never heard of before, but were in line with things that I liked, and they hit the nail on the head. So that's you know, I feel like bookstores are seen as a thing of the past, but I'm here for it. I feel like this is like the new evolution of bookstores.
So maybe when you guys make it, you guys can sponsor Foggy Pine.
When we write our Telltale book.
Exactly.
We will do a live show
at Foggy Pine
and make them more popular than Stephen Colbert.
Absolutely.
Thanks to our millions of viewers and listeners, legions of fans. Okay, well, just in case y'all weren't tired of hearing me talking, I was going to get into my list before. So one true pairing, I'm sure this one might make some people mad, and I actually didn't agree with it until very recently, but I think Harry and Hermione
Yes.
should have ended up together.
Yes, I have. I did it.
What? No, Harry and Ginny, man.
Ginny is like,
she's basic.
She's an unsalted cracker.
Not basic. She is powerful. We're about to fisticuffs, y'all.
Maybe I'm just basing this too much off of movie Ginny.
And also, you've been married to me for too long.
And maybe I've been married to my wife for too long. I don't know. I just feel like all of like Ron's like redeeming qualities came all of a sudden at the very end. I think that, and I'm also including in this Fred and George as my one true pairing. I think they should have killed off Ron, kept Fred and George together, and then had Harry and Hermione name their first child Ronald.
I mean, I would support that.
But yeah, that was something I disagreed with for far too long. But it was also just like Ron was a jerk. Like, didn't deserve Hermione. But yeah, that's my number five. My number four, R2 and C-3PO.
As a couple?
As a couple. I mean they argue like a married couple. I feel like they're like a part of Star Wars that's just enduring. I feel like their relationship somewhat defines the franchise, and you know, is something that I think of when I think of Star Wars. So I had to include them. Next up, this isn't a couple, but I definitely think that we should, as a society, embrace roommates longer than college. But Mike and Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Oh.
They're just like friends who live together, and they go to work every day together, and they're just doing their thing. I definitely like Mike and Sully. I mean, Mike even has a girlfriend, and he's still living with Sully, so...
I just watched, not for the first time, but just like two nights ago, watched Monsters University.
Oh, I love that movie. And then my next one is, this one is mostly, and I feel like I could just choose any couple that includes an organized person and a chaotic person, but I had to do Claire and Phil Dunphy from Modern Family.
Oh,
I feel like I'm Phil a lot of the times, and Allison is just super nice and organized and puts up with me and makes sure I don't run into things.
I love that you described me as nice, because I don't think anyone would say that, but thank you.
You're nice for putting up with me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about outside of that, if you're very nice, but... But I mean, just any of those couples that's like a super organized person with a super disorganized person. So like Amy and Jake from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Those are me. Those are
cool.
Yeah, those are big ones for me. And then my number one, and y'all probably won't know about this since y'all haven't or you've watched Red Dead Redemption 2, but Sadie Adler and her husband Jake Adler. This one gets me in my fifis because the first mission of the game, you're investigating a homestead and it's like been taken over by this rival gang. And you basically find out that the rival gang killed Sadie's husband, Jake, and had like been taking over her thing. And she ends up joining your gang and going along with you and becoming a very important person in the story. But I loved her because they didn't use her as like romantic fodder for the main character in Red Dead Redemption 2. They didn't make her fall in love with anyone, but she literally was like, this was my person. I'm not going to find, like, I couldn't live without him. I loved my life with him. And it kind of feels like the way I am with Allison, in the sense that it's just like, she is my person. If something happened to her, I do not think I would adjust very well. But just the fact that they made her like a strong character, she ends up becoming a bounty hunter that hunts down rival gangs that like the people who killed her husband. Mm-hmm. And they didn't use her for like a cheap hookup for the main character. Basically she was her own person. It was definitely a one true pairing. If you've ever played Red Dead Redemption 2,
they're married.
Yeah, they were married and he gets killed. Oh. And there's like numerous lines where she was just like, I love my life. I love my husband. I don't see myself finding anyone ever again because he was my soulmate. But that's my list. My honorable mentions. I couldn't leave off Leia and Han, even though I don't know how healthy that relationship was. I definitely didn't do Luke and Leia. That would be weird. Just like their kiss. Another honorable mention is pizza and me. I love pizza, and I'm pretty sure it was invented for me, so I love that. And then last but not least, Maggie and Glenn from Walking Dead. I couldn't leave them off because I feel like that's got similar vibes to Sadie and Jake Adler in the sense that just like they were a one true pairing.
I think there's something where Maggie's back in the show now or something.
She is.
I don't know. I haven't watched the show since the Whisper War, or not the Whisper War, the Negan got captured. So I'm very behind right now.
The Whisper War is worth it. And yes, Maggie comes back with a really cool bodyguard who wields blades, and they're awesome.
Nice.
Well, that is my list. Allison, what is your special guest list?
Okay, so number five, I wanted to celebrate a work wife and work husband relationship. So I don't know if you guys watch Criminal Minds, but Derek Morgan and Penelope Garcia, I love them. They're problematic in the sense that they're kind of like textbook workplace sexual harassment for each other.
Perfect.
They have genuine love for each other and it doesn't cross any boundaries that they have. Like, it's just a genuine platonic relationship and they would die for each other.
if it wasn't consensual, it'd be very problematic.
Yeah.
But they know where they stand with each other.
And I think we should normalize like male female friendships.
My best friend is female. And I mean, I know I'm a gay guy and that's not unheard of, but I grew up having a lot of girlfriends instead of guy friends. But I've actually reached a point in my life where I have more guy friends than I have girlfriends. But if I had like my bestie in the entire world is Maggie, and she's a lady, I guess.
Yeah. So I wanted to celebrate that. So number four, just to repeat, someone that was on Thomas's list. So Claire and Phil Dunphy. I chose them because they're again, very similar to Thomas and me. If in some alternate universe, Thomas and I had human children, that would literally be our relationship. Cause Claire's just really strict and inflexible and holds the household together. And then Phil is really spontaneous and fun, and they just really balance each other out. And that's me and Thomas.
And then there was also the Valentine's Day episode where they pretend they've never met each other and meet each other in the bar as Clive Bigley and Juliana.
Juliana.
Which we've never done before.
Corey and I have talked about doing something like that. Like, obviously not now because of the pandemic, but we had talked about going out to a bar and like hitting on each other, like going to the bar separate and then being like sending a drink down. I don't know. Sounded stupid, but fun at the same time.
Now one of you could like be a home invader.
Oh, God.
No.
It's a different show. That's a different show, Tom.
No. Okay. So number three, I don't think y'all have watched it, but have y'all watched Friday Night Lights? It was on NBC like early 2000s.
I remember it, but I never watched it.
Yeah, okay. I know of it, but I didn't watch it.
So Coach Eric and Tammy Taylor, their relationship is probably the most accurate portrayal of a high school coach and a wife and how that relationship works. Because as y'all probably, do you talk about coaching on this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, my husband's a coach and, you know, coaches' wives, we, sacrifice a lot. The high school teams sometimes come before us and that's okay. and it's just, their relationship is beautiful. And I think, you know, it's very accurate. And I think a goal of what I would like my relationship to be like with Thomas, when it comes to his coaching. Well,
and just a note on coaches' wives, they don't get to see all the as many of the reasons why you're out there coaching, and they get to hear about a lot of the stress of it. So it's like, you know, it is a very rewarding thing to do, but a lot of times your spouse, when you're a coach, just hears about the things you're venting about, and that can make it sound like you're just completely unappreciated. But you know, it's definitely a balance, and I definitely appreciate my wife for everything she does for my coaching.
Thank you. Number two, I feel like I'm so cliche for putting this on here, but I don't care. Jim and Pam from The Office.
It's not cliche.
Okay, good. one reason why they're on here is because Thomas and I actually now work together since September. And it is a goal of mine to be more like Jim and Pam, because we are on the opposite spectrum of Jim and Pam. We're on the chaotic, messy side of when working together. Poor Reggie gets caught in the middle.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, has it really been since September? Because wasn't September like 7 years ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
but also another reason, and it's actually similar to me and Thomas's relationship, is their relationship began as a friendship and then progressed, and that's how Thomas and I began as well. So I can relate to that. And number one is Andy and April from Parks and Recreation. Mainly because, again, it's very similar to me and Thomas's relationship, but the, I guess, taking away point from the relationship is Andy loves her because she's weird and awkward and dark and twisty. He loves her because of those things and not despite those things. And I'd like to think that Thomas also loves me because of those things.
And I would really like to think you think I'm smarter than Andy from Parks and Rec.
You are. You are. But you also have these strange, like, energy outbursts like him. And
that's just being
ADHD. But yeah, so that's my list. My quick honorable mentions. I want to celebrate Galentine's. So Meredith and Christina from Grey's Anatomy, Anne and Leslie from Parks and Rec, and then Lorelai and Rory from Gilmore Girls. And then Ben Leslie from Parks and Rec, Rocky and Adrian from the Rocky series, and Jeff and Annie from Community.
Jeff and Annie from Community.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that one, Reggie?
I support it, as gross as it is, because he could be like her dad. I always thought that Jeff and Annie should have gotten married, and I think that's how the show should have ended. But maybe we'll get a movie and they can get married in that.
I still haven't finished the show. I still have either a full season or like half a season left.
I mean, it doesn't end like the show is ending. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, I mean, I wasn't satisfied by it, but that's just me.
Have they talked about doing any, because I feel like everyone's doing this with the pandemic, have they talked about doing any reunion?
They did a table read of, I can't remember which episode it was now, but they did a table read where they had everybody back together through Zoom and stuff like that. Oh, goodness. yeah, that's the most that we've gotten because of the pandemic is the Zoom meeting.
Gotcha.
That was a good list.
That was a very nice list, Allison. Let's see. I believe Reggie's list is next.
Oh, well, my list was so hard to pick out because there's just so many. And then once I did pick them out, I couldn't decide on the order. So the only one in my list that is number one is my number one. Everything else can be interchanged. So I'm just going to read the list. First down that I have is Willow and Tara from Buffy.
Aww.
I know I've mentioned before my love and obsession of Buffy, and I've been making my way through the series again, even though all of the horribleness that has come to light, I still love the show Buffy. It doesn't mean I have to love the person who created it nowadays, and I fully, fully stand and support all of the actresses that are coming forward and all of the actors that are talking about the abuse, and I think it's disgusting and how dare that this situation happen and taint the wonderfulness that was Buffy. But all of that aside, for me as a young gay kid growing up, there wasn't a lot of gay representation on television unless you wanted to go with the stereotypes like Will and Grace with just Jack and you know, Queer as Folk, which is just a terrible thing for a gay kid to watch and think that the gay world works. Because let me tell you, that's not how it is. But in Buffy, you know, Willow discovers that she is a lesbian and she ends up falling in love with essentially her friend that she does magic with. And they have this just beautiful relationship. And there is something that happens that causes them to break up at some point. And for me, one of the most tragic, I'm not going to cry, one of the most tragic things from any kind of television show that ever happened was on the episode that they worked everything out and got back together, Tara is killed. And eventually Willow finds another partner, Kennedy, and like, yes, it's cute and sweet and everything, but for me, it will always be Willow and Tara.
Mm-hmm.
So next on my list is Fry and Leela from Futurama.
Aww.
Yes.
The episode, so I have been with Corey since the dawning of time. I knew that I wanted to marry him and be with him forever, basically 3 months into us being together.
So I definitely asked him to marry me way, way early in our relationship, which of course wasn't something that could legally be done. Unfortunately, 100 years ago, that wasn't legal. Eventually it did become legal and Corey and I talked about getting married, but I never had my own ring. And on my birthday, during the episode of Futurama where the Daimonium happens and Fry goes to get a piece of the diamond for a wedding ring for Leela. Corey turns over to me and takes out a box and opens it up and I've got my wedding ring that was in there. So that's something that's always been very, very important to me. And so Fry and Leela's relationship is always something that's very important to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next on my list, and I know a lot of people say that they want a love like Harley Quinn and Joker, which to me is messed up.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
I want a love like Morticia and Gomez.
Oh my God, yes.
I want a love where you will kill anybody for this other person. And I, like, Addams Family is something that I grew up watching, both the cartoon show and the movies. I actually saw the second movie in theaters in a double feature with Nightmare Before Christmas. I love Morticia and Gomez. I think that they, as creepy and spooky and evil and dark as they are, they care about each other and their family and their children above anything else in the world. And I don't think that there's anything more important than that.
Yeah.
As a recent parent, you know, I've discovered the love of a child. And like, I was amazed at the first time I heard my kid talking about somebody being mean to him at school. And I was like, I'm going to come down to that school and rip them up out of their seat. Like, I need to calm down. And I think that that's kind of what Morticia and Gomez have, is that they would kill for their children. They would die for each other. You know, either way, what bliss.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up on next on my list is Tommy and Kimberly from Power Rangers.
Nice.
Wait, they date? I didn't know they dated.
Oh, yeah. And so Amy Jo Johnson eventually leaves Power. Spoiler alert, they changed the Pink Ranger in the original Mighty Morphin.
Oh, wait, you said Tommy, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. In my small brain, I just made Tommy the Blue Ranger.
Oh my God, Billy. That's what I think. I know Billy's gay, but I think, well, maybe he's not actually gay. I know the actor was gay, but I always thought Billy and Kimberly were a great pair. I always liked their interaction and I thought they had great on-screen chemistry as well.
Yeah.
But no, alas, Tommy was meant to be with Kimberly, whether the people in the TV show who wrote it knew it or not. And they did Kim dirty by having her break up with Tommy through a Dear John letter.
Worst episode ever.
I don't acknowledge that. I don't accept the new Pink Ranger. For me, in my mind, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger ends at the episode that Kim gives up her powers. And then it's just done. And then Zeo starts in the next one. You know?
There you go.
Yeah, you know. But I think Tommy and Kimberly, I think why that relationship for me is because that was like, as a child being obsessed with Power Rangers, that was my first time actually seeing like romance and love. And like you knew she liked him, you knew he liked her, and it was always this like, oh my God, when are they gonna tell each other? And although I was always jealous because I thought Kimberly should end up with me, and little did I understand what the world had in store for me. Now, like I said, those four that I said could be put in any order. I don't think that any of them are more important than any other as far as me being able to come up with one. But my number one absolute true pairing that for me is what passion and love comes from is Buffy and Angel. And I don't know if you guys have watched much Buffy and Angel, but Angel is a several hundred year old vampire that killed a young gypsy woman, and her clan put a curse on him. Mm-hmm. And his curse was that he was given his soul back. And as a vampire, you don't have a soul. So you do all these horrible, evil, mean, disgusting things with no remorse. And he was given back his soul, and he had hundreds of years of terrible things that he did that he had to just live with. And so he was tortured and he was tormented, and he knew, you know, it wasn't him, but he still felt like it was his responsibility to make make amends for it. So mm-hmm. he comes into Buffy's life eventually to help her save the day. But he falls in love with her. And over the course of the show, she falls in love with him. And unfortunately, part of the curse was that he could never have true happiness. Now, in the case of the show, it meant them bumping uglies, and then he lost his soul again and became evil, which was, I think, some of the most heartbreaking episodes of the 7 seasons of Buffy come from season 6. A character I really, really like ends up getting killed by it. And when he's a vampire, his name is Angelus. But when he's human, or when he's got his soul, it's Angel. But as Angelus, he ends up killing another one true pairing that I think is, and it's Ginny and Giles. And I know a lot of my stuff came from Buffy. 2 out of the 5 is, you know, a lot. But it was always so heartbreaking for me because ultimately they could never actually be together, because if they were to be together, Angel would be happy and he can never be happy, or he'll lose his soul and become evil again. And that's a one true pairing. You know, that's for me something that's meant to be together, but for whatever reason, like it just can't. So to this day, I still hold a flame for them. And then my honorable mention for this one is Sydney Bristow and Mike Vaughn from Alias. I don't know if any of you guys watched Alias, but I love that show and became obsessed with it. Jennifer Gardner is a super secret spy who's super sexy. And another person that she works with, Vaughn, and they have this will they, won't they. She disappears. I mentioned in worst characters, Lauren Reed. Mm-hmm. Lauren is the one who ends up marrying Mike when Sydney is missing. And then she was a bad guy and blah, 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 blah. But thankfully, and spoiler, the show ended in like 2000. So if you haven't watched it, I'm sorry. In the end, they do end up being together, and they have a child, and I love it.
And she becomes my favorite credit card spokesman.
What's in your wallet? But yeah, that's my list. I could add 100,000 more honorable mentions. But I think, you know, Phil and Claire, Mitch and Cam. I definitely have to agree with Maggie and Glenn. I wasn't that big of a Walking Dead fan. I completely stand that relationship. I also thought Mario and Peach should be mentioned. I really feel like that's a true one true pairing.
They are.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have done 10,000 games. And the same thing with Link and Zelda. I know not every version of the game they're a couple, but I do ultimately think that coupling needs to happen, and some kind of little Zelda Link baby needs to come out and that be the main character of a game. But that's just me.
You and Corey?
I mean, of course, me and Corey. I think my entire list was mostly based around Corey. And when I sent, you know, my list out to you guys ahead of time, I put him on there, but yeah, I mean, of course I love him. I can bring him up in here, but he's downstairs with the kid. And so, well, that's my list this week, and no mushy gushy.
Very nice, Reggie. Shane, what do you have for us this week?
All right. Like you guys, I had trouble narrowing down my list, but I think I got a good representation of everything that I really like and all my favorite couples. So starting off in the number 5 spot at the top, Fred Jones and Daphne Blake from Scooby-Doo.
Yay. I'm shocked.
Exactly, right? Especially like the Zombie Island movie. When she's a reporter, he's her producer. He makes his birthday happen and reunites the gang for her. And then when they get to the island, she's jealous because Lena tries to flirt with Freddy. And I know all throughout like the series, it's kind of hinted at. And then some of like the DVD movies, like there's one specifically where I think they do kiss and finally become a couple, but then the next one it's back to square one.
Well, and I remembered in the Johnny Bravo crossover, when they were like splitting up, she was like, Daphne was like, okay, Velma, you and me will go look in the dungeon. Fred, you and Shaggy. And Fred's like, Daphne, and like rolls it, like raises his eyebrows, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll go together.
Saxophone music plays.
Yeah. That's why Fred and Daphne never got anything solved.
Exactly.
Now
we never see them. Like when they split up, we never saw them. It was always Scooby, Shaggy, and Velma.
Always.
Shane, do you feel like you ship them harder because in the movies it's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, and they're still married.
And they are the most. I love them.
I like them. Yeah, I like that casting for the movie, but I'm actually not a huge fan of the live version movies.
Gotcha.
They were a little more. They were too much parody for me, and not enough source material, I guess.
Right.
I have offended Reggie. But no, that was good casting. I did support that casting. I just, when I watched the movie, I was like, this is like the Brady Bunch movies, but it worked better for the Brady Bunch.
It was a little too campy at some parts. I will agree with that. But I'm a big fan of those movies.
That's because moving right along my list, the next one's also not going to be, like, most of my list is probably not going to be a surprise to you guys. I think I've mentioned all these couples at least once on here. But Nightwing and Starfire from Titans, DC, almost any iteration except New Teen Titans.
Teen Titans Go.
Or Teen Titans Go. They don't count. Because she has no interest in him and he does her. And it's pathetic and I don't like it. But in their original series, when they did the prom episode where Robin's forced to go to prom with Kitty, but then Fangs, her spider boyfriend, shows up and Starfire shows up and it's the best.
I just realized I left my... I feel like Tara and Beast Boy should have been on the TV.
Oh, but I got goosebumps.
I didn't.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. They're heartbreaking, but I don't know. I always like Nightwing and Starfire more. Next on my list, two more superheroes, and this might be the controversial one that fans will come at me at. So, Felicity from Arrow, Oliver Queen, and Felicity Smoke.
Are they a real couple, or is this someone you're shipping?
It's. I mean, it's on the TV show.
Who is no, Felicity?
But they're like, actually, do they date or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Wait. So why will fans come at you?
Because. So the Green Arrow and the Black Canary are normally the couple, and that would be Laurel. But Arrow gave us Felicity, who is much better than Laurel.
Okay, and Reggie's dying, so he disagrees.
Yes.
I will have to say, I have not watched Arrow, so I could probably stand behind this, but I think my favorite iteration of Black Canary that I have seen in any kind of television or anything so far has been the Black Canary in the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that they move forward with that character and introduce Green Arrow with her.
Yes.
I think that pairing would be mind-blowing.
As long as the same Felicity Smoke and Oliver Queen from the Arrowverse don't exist, I'm cool with Green Arrow being with Black Canary, but when it's Emily Bett Rickards and Stephen Amell, they have to be together. And honestly, the Laurel on Arrow kind of sucked. And even when she did eventually become the Black Canary, because her sister Sarah was Black Canary first, and we all know I love Sarah much better. But then Sarah dies and leaves for Legends. And so Laurel becomes Black Canary and kind of sucks at it. If I'm being honest, like she learns a little bit, but honestly, most of the time she couldn't do anything.
Ooh. Does she have, what superhero is Felicity?
Her brains. She's smart.
But I mean, what does she have a superhero name?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Was she made up for the show?
Yes and no. She has comic book sources where they grabbed her from. There's a Felicity Smoke in the comic book, but she was in the, not Firestorm series.
Oh, okay.
And she was just this character that honestly showed up, like she's very into tech and Felicity's very smart. She's Oliver's tech girl and she's always in his ear helping him out. And she's a cyber hacker. And in the comic books, she had a lot of tech, but Firestorm kind of did stupid things to her. Like he transformed her clothes into bubbles one time to embarrass her. Like she was kind of presented as not a very nice character. But this Felicity Smoke was so much better.
Nice. Well, I'll stand behind your shipping.
And then the next one has already been talked about on Reggie's list. Tommy and Kimberly from Power Rangers. Because they were my first true pairing ever.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't think of another one before them.
Yeah. Because I mean, I wasn't catching all the Freddie and Daphne stuff when I was that young. But Tommy and Kimberly was where it was at. In the episode where they finally kiss and he picks her up and twirls around in the air is one of my favorites.
Me and my friends would reenact that in like first grade, standing on the playground.
Yes. And I think they kissed on a playground too or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that they
there's like a Halloween episode or something like that where they're on a playground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kiss and then they go fight putties.
Yes. But I was really happy when the latest Power Ranger movie came out and Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank guest star in it. And in the cut scene that did not make the movie, they're in the Krispy Kreme donut shop, just like in the background. And so I told my friend Sydney, I'm like, they're having their engagement donut because they're totally married. And then when they're taking pictures outside, you know, at the end when the Power Rangers save the day, I told my friend, I was like, they're taking pictures for their child because they have one.
Yeah, and they're part of a parallel universe, so they just wanted to like show, you know, that was part of the Shattered Grid. It's no big deal.
Yes, they belong together, not Kat. And even though in TV Land and the TV Power Rangers in the continuity, Tommy has a child, we have not met the mother, and it is Kimberly. No matter what,
it's Kim.
Yes. And finally, my number one, also probably not a surprise, Fitzsimmons.
Yep.
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. One of the most torturous couples I cried over the most because I broke my heart every season. It started out, Fitz sacrificed his life to save Gemma, but she saved him, which put him in a coma. And because she couldn't bear the sight of him in a coma, she left to take an undercover mission. And so when he woke up and she wasn't there, he had a figment of his imagination of her. And then when they come back together and he finally asks her out, stupid monolith sucks her away to another planet in another universe. And so Fitz jumps through a hole to save her. And then she's traumatized from that when they come back. And they have a few good moments. But then Fitz gets taken by an AI robot named Ada, who falls in love with him and brainwashes him to forget Simmons. So they have to go into this computer world where if they die, they would die in real life. But Fitz is this horrible, terrible person and he actually kills someone. But Simmons, of course, saves him and they find their way back to each other. And then in the last season, they decide they're going to stop splitting up because it always places one of them in danger. And Fitz dies.
No.
Wait, so you went through all of that for just the kid? Shane, I'm so sorry. No.
It's okay. They kind of, because of their time travel shenanigans, there was the Fitz who cryogenically froze himself so he could go to the future and save Simmons. So that Fitz was still out there, but he's still not the original one.
Right.
Are they bringing that show back?
I don't know. There's talk of it.
Well, I know phase 4 of the Marvel stuff is supposed to be about the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And if that show had multiverses in it, then it would make sense that they would, you know, do something.
If they do, I'm torn on if I want to see Fitzsimmons again. So I'm like, it's just going to be more torture.
No, how much more can you take?
Maybe they'll give him a break and they'll torture other characters.
Well, I'm going to spoil the ending because, you know, Simmons saves cryogenically frozen Fitz, who of course doesn't remember their wedding. But they start to build a life together. And at the end of the series, Fitz and Simmons have to do all this more time travel shenanigans to save everyone else. But while they were in a zone for like a year, they made a family together. And so like the last few episodes, Simmons loses her memory and Fitz is telling her remember what they're fighting for, and they were fighting for their child. And I accept that ending, even though they tortured me all 7 seasons. But that's why they're my number one. Yes, they're two nerdy little characters and they're just the best.
Oh, I love that.
But I have 3 honorable mentions that I wanted to mention just because it's hard to narrow down this list. And another one's actually from Scooby-Doo, from Mystery Inc., Velma Dinkley and Marcy, aka Hot Dog Water.
Interesting name.
And of course, I've got to have one from a soap opera, Sunny and Will from Days of Our Lives. One of the first really true mainstream gay couples on daytime TV that were like put out front, given stories. They weren't just like the token gay characters like on other shows that had them before. And also, finally, from Star Trek Discovery, Hugh and Paul.
Oh, yes. Have you guys watched Discovery?
No.
You have, what is it? All Access? CBS All Access?
Yeah.
You should give it a go. It's pretty amazing television.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the most recent one? It has like Pusey from Orange is the New Black? Okay.
He is the main character, and she might be the most badass character from Star Trek that's ever come out, next to Seven of Nine.
You know who I just... List. Oh, that was your list, Shane?
Yeah.
Very nice, buddy. I loved it.
I liked it, too. You know, Reggie, I just thought of an honorable mention that, based on the Power Rangers list, Lauren and Jason from The Shattered Grid.
Them, and then you could also add Rita and Zed.
Rita and Zed.
Because even after the potion was taken away from Zed, he still was in love with Rita, and they stayed married.
And they traveled around the galaxy in an RV together.
I also think you could add, as far as like friendships go, Billy and Trini.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those two had a really deep connection in the show. And then also outside of the show, the actor and actress, I think, were also very close. Or at least that's how it seemed to me.
Very more phenomenal. Well, y'all, that was those were some good lists about OTPs, one true pairing. Before we get off, Shane, you want to give a shout out to our social media?
Yes, absolutely. We are Total Nerd List on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
Very nice. And anyone have some shout outs for the week?
Well, we've always got our friend Jordy Marie Games on Facebook. She does Animal Crossing and all kinds of other stuff. She recently started a new island with no time traveling, so she's really putting in the schlep of not cheating at all.
Wasn't time traveling why Corey's Switch didn't work with Dead by Daylight for like a month?
Yeah, listen, if you have a Switch and you time travel, make sure you put that stuff back on the correct day. Corey hasn't been able to play Dead by Daylight because he kept saying communication error. 3 days of talking with customer service, and they were like, oh, what is the day and time set to on your Switch? And I was like, I don't know. It was in April.
Oh, no.
So we fixed that, and everything's working fine now.
Yay!
My buddy Jimmy Kerr, Willow Mountain Woodwork, Custom Furniture. I always like to give him a shout out. And then our buddy Mason and his book, which you guys, I'm not very literate. So you guys have been reading that book.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
34 degrees.
Also want to mention that we are going to be doing two more episodes for this season. We're going to be ending season one. And oh my gosh, guys, this just got handed to me. We've been renewed for season two.
Yay! Oh my goodness. I have been losing sleep over whether we are coming back.
Well, we're definitely going to be coming back, and I think we might be coming back with a little bit of a different format. I think you guys might actually get to see us if you want to watch some video, but we're still in the planning phase, and we'll keep you posted.
Lots of good things on the horizon.
Absolutely, and we are still planning on doing all of those videos that we have promised you are Bean Boozle, and if you have any other things that you want us to see to make up for how long it's been, you just let us know.
When... it might be hard to do the Bean Boozle this weekend because apparently we're supposed to get 2 inches of ice falling from the sky. 2 inches of ice. I just read that online, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Can I make a suggestion for what I'd like y'all to make a video of to make up for the lack of videos?
Yes.
Yes.
I would like a Jell-O like mini pool fight.
Jell-O mini pool fight.
So like get in a pool of Jell-O and fight each other.
Okay.
Shane and I are lovers. I think Reggie's the fighter, so it'd be very one-sided.
Reggie, I'll fight you. We can make a video.
Let's do it. I just want to get in a kiddie pool full of Jell-O at this point. Like, that sounds fun. We can do something like that this summer. We'll see. We'll have to raise money for it or something.
Sounds good.
Well, this was the Total Nerd List. I enjoyed your lists, and I'm looking forward to many lists to come.
Absolutely.
We'll see you guys.
Bye. Bye.